which comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus is converted. He, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, and he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is the word of God and true. Thanks be to God. And now, let us join each other in hymn number 479 in the blue hymnal, "Softly and Tenderly," verses 1, 2, and 4.
It was beautiful to hear you all sing. It was I know you all sing, you know, every Sunday, but you all were singing that song. And if you all have a favorite song that we haven't sung in a while and you'd like to sing it, I can't promise we'll work it in right away. But if it fits, just let me know, because I want to sing songs that you all know. And as beautiful as it is for me to hear it, it's so, the Lord loves that. It's a delight to him to hear his children worshiping him. I had fully intended to leave Luke 15 this week, and I just couldn't. The Lord, there's more here, and so we're going to be here one more week, and it's I want to talk about kingdom purpose. I'm going to spend the next 2 weeks at least talking about kingdom purpose. And in Luke chapter 15, I've mentioned it during the series on the lost sons. But I want to take time today to go through each one of these parables. The great life question is, what is our purpose, isn't it? It's a great existential question, existentialism. What is our purpose? Why are we here? What are we doing here? And I want to address that this morning. What is our purpose? And it's there's a flow in Luke chapter 15 that really answers that question really, really well. So pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that there's always green grass in your word. When we think we've exhausted a passage, and yeah, I know what that is, I know what that means, Lord, there's more there. We thank you that your word is living and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would come, that your Holy Spirit would teach us, you would give us eyes to see, you would give us ears to hear, you would give us hearts that are obedient. I pray, Father, you would give me the words to say. Pray for a focused mind. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me courage and the words to say, Lord, that I would fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that today, if we hear your voice, Lord, that we would say yes. And Lord, that we would be good soil, that we would, our spirits, Lord, would bear fruit from what we hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. What is our purpose? This whole chapter as a whole. And I just want to say, Carolyn, I loved that, there's something about that name. Just love that song. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. That song ministered to me today, so thank you for that. Luke chapter 15. Two verses here that introduce the whole psalm. Again, we've talked about this, but you can't overstate it. The audience of this psalm, this is the context in which Jesus teaches the psalm. He says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And Chuck read about that. Zacchaeus, Jesus got in trouble for that because Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And that was as low as you can go. They were considered, you know, if the IRS calls us, we're like, we don't like the IRS. And as much as we don't like them, tax collectors in Jesus' day were even worse than the IRS. I mean, that they were the bottom rung. And Jesus ate with them and entertained them. And Jesus, the Pharisees don't like that. The religious people of his day don't like it. Verse 2, Luke 15, verse 2. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So it's in that context. The Pharisees, the religious folk, are grumbling, and Jesus tells three parables. He frames these three parables with that phrase. Religious people don't like him. We don't like it, Jesus, that you're doing this. So Jesus says, first parable, Luke 15, verse 3. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Pharisees are grumbling, Jesus, we don't like it that you're doing this. And he tells a parable about a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And he leaves the 99 and goes to the one. I mean, even in our modern day culture, we don't know a whole lot about shepherds in our modern day culture. But does that seem like a good thing to do? To leave 99 sheep and go look for the one? That's not good marketing. That's not good stewardship. That's stupid because, you know, we can feel like that's not a good business plan, shepherd. That's not, you're going to lose the other 99 sheep. That's not good. And yet he tells this story, this shepherd who leaves the 99 and he goes looking for the one. And the point of that parable, Jesus is saying, hey, Pharisees, why do I eat with the lost? Why do I entertain the lost? There's rejoicing over that one. It's about the lost and his concern for the lost. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There's a concern there for the lost. That's the heart of Jesus. Second parable. Verses 8 through 10. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? In our culture, we can understand that a little bit better, can't we? Money, we have, you know, say we had $10, $20 bills. And or $10, $100 bills for some of you, or whatever. If I had 10 20s, that was like, if I lost one of them, man, I'm going to be looking everywhere. So we can relate a little bit more to this one. So she loses, and this is significant, especially for a single woman in that time. She loses one of those coins, and so what is she doing? She's seeking, and it's a big deal, and she's looking for it. Verse 9. And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It's interesting, so far in these parables, right? We have the shepherd who leaves 99 to go for one, just one, leaves the 99 looking for the one. The woman who has 10 coins, she's seeking, she's searching for the one. With the sheep, more joy in heaven over one sinner than 99. And here we have it. See the joy? Just so I tell you, there's joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You see a theme here? Theme of the lost, theme of seeking and searching and joy. And then we have the parable that we've talked about a lot. There was a man who had two sons. Not going to read that today because we've spent a lot of time on that parable. But those two sons, the younger son, very rude, asks his father for his inheritance. His daddy gives it to him, gives him freedom. That boy goes off and he squanders it. He's in the pig pen, which is about as low as a Jewish boy can go, in a pig pen, eating the feet of the pigs. And it says he comes to his senses. I'm going to go back to my father. I'm going to go back. I'm not worthy to be called his son, but I'm going to go back. And that boy comes back. He's practicing the speech he's going to give his daddy. And his daddy's waiting for him a long way off. That daddy runs. Gives him a ring, gives him a robe, gives him shoes, fully embraces him, throws a party for him. The elder son's out in the field. He hears, comes back, he hears that. There's estrangement with his daddy. He's angry, he's resentful, and he's bitter. Why are you throwing this party? You never did this for me. And that daddy, just like he did to that younger son, that daddy comes out and he's pleading with that boy to come in. What's that parable about? It's about the heart of God who is running after his people, who's running after, he wants restoration, he wants reconciliation. What do you think that would have meant to those Pharisees? Jesus has said, you know, they're grumbling, they're complaining, and Jesus tells this parable. Do you think they're going to like that? No, it's going to make them angry. It's going to make them mad. But those three parables, when you look at them as a whole, it's the heart of God and his heart for the lost and it's his heart. And as we ask the question, what is our purpose? And as we ask the question, you know, we think about in this church, we think about, you know, what is our purpose here at this church? And what we tend to do as just a human condition, and this is we just do it. We tend to look in the past, or we tend to look in the future. I know a lot of churches who, what is our purpose? And so they look in the past, and we're pining away for what we had in the past. And we want things to go back like they used to be. My grandmother had Norman Rockwell pictures all over her house. She loved Norman Rockwell. And the good old days, and they were beautiful. And they were everywhere. But it was this longing for what we used to have, what we used to have, what we used to have. And that's natural, just as human. We want, especially if it was good, we want what's in the back. Or we tend to look what's in the future. What's culturally going on? We need to be relevant. What's our purpose? We need to be relevant. We need to reach out. We need to do this. We need to do this. We need to do this. All of that's good, except we're asking, what is the purpose? The better question is, what is God's purpose? Because we can be thinking about what is our purpose, and we make it about ourselves, we make it about money, we make it about pleasure, churches, we make it about the past, and we make it about the future, and we totally miss the heart of God. We totally miss the heart of Jesus. So the question that we need to be asking isn't, what is our purpose? But the better question is, what is God's purpose? And how can we align ourselves with his purpose? And then Luke 15, it's probably some of the best, beautifully, and the beautiful thing about parables is you see different nuances of the same truth. You see that with the shepherd. It didn't seem like the wise thing to do, to leave the 99 and go after the one. But that shepherd is concerned, and God is concerned about the one. He's concerned about the lost. The woman seeking, searching, diligent, seeking and searching. Jesus is always concerned about the lost, about the broken. And it made the Pharisees angry. What is God's purpose? God's purpose. And he states it in Luke chapter 19 with what Chuck read today with Zacchaeus. What's Jesus' purpose? Jesus said, I've come to seek and save those who are lost. That's his purpose. That is his heart. And as we align ourselves with him and we begin to pray, Lord, give me your heart. Give me your heart for the world. Give me your heart for this community. And we start lining ourselves up with him. Our purpose is going to become really, really clear. And it may not look like what you think it's going to look like. But we align ourselves up with him. I've just mentioned this, I think it was last week or the week before. You learn a lot about a person with what makes them angry. And Jesus got mad at the Pharisees a lot. We're not going to talk about that today. But it also, Jesus got deeply grieved when he goes into the temple and he sees what they had made the temple. And he sees that they had turned it into a place of marketing, into a place of money, and they completely miss the point. And Jesus goes in there and he cleans out the money changers, and he quotes a scripture from Zechariah, and he says, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." What is God's purpose? His purpose is to seek and save the lost. His purpose is that we become a house of prayer for all people. And there's one, and if I've missed it, you all can tell me. But as I search the scriptures, I only find one prayer request of Jesus. And he asked his disciples, you remember what that prayer request is? He said, he's sending out his disciples two by two. And he says, pray therefore that the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers into the harvest field. That is Jesus' prayer request. What is his purpose? His purpose is for the lost. His purpose is that we would be a house of prayer. And his purpose, how, it's like, okay, well, I don't like to pray out loud. I'm not really good at it. I don't know what to do. So I said a few weeks ago, start praying scripture. Start praying the word of God. And pray that prayer, that Jesus' prayer request. And you look at that word, you look at this, and it's kind of funny. The translators are tame when they translate it. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. That word literally is to throw or to toss and just thrust them out there into the harvest field. And all of us, if we know Jesus Christ and we've accepted him, we believe that he died on the cross for our sins and he's been raised from the dead, and we believe that and we invite him in. And you know what? The scriptures say that you all have at least one spiritual gift. You have one, and we're one body, many, many, many gifts. And how this gets worked out is different for each one of us. I have really enjoyed walking out at the fairgrounds, and it's really fun to live up here when the fair's going to be taking place. It's kind of, I didn't even realize that, like, I've always wanted to do that until I see the signs, and I'm getting excited. It's like, I can go every day, so I'm excited about that. But as I've walked on the fairgrounds this past winter and this past spring, one of the things that I love to do, and I've seen Mary, and she's like, April, I've never seen anything like you. I just love to walk. And I like to pray when I walk. That's one of the reasons why I walk so much, is because it's just a good outlet to pray. And so I'll go out and pray. And as I'm praying, I'm walking those fairgrounds, I'm just praying, God, send forth laborers into the harvest field. And that's one way that God uses me. But God may use you differently to do that. But all of us need to have a heart for the lost. All of us need to be people of prayer. And it's going to be manifested different. Some of you, you don't like to walk. And that's good. And that's fine. And he's going to use your set of gifts in a different way. Some of you, God's gifted with evangelism. And your heart breaks and bleeds for the lost. And you can't wait to tell people about Jesus. And he's praying, do it! What are you waiting for? Do it! Do it. I really believe with all my heart, Jesus said that the end is not going to come until all nations have been able to hear about Jesus. I believe one of the reasons Jesus is tarrying is because he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He's waiting. He's waiting. He has partnered with us. We are his hands and we are his feet, and he's partnered with us. He's made himself somewhat dependent on his kingdom coming to the earth on us. Are we obedient? Are we walking? Are we doing what he's told us to do? Is this house a house of prayer? And asking God, give us your heart. We don't want to be looking to the past. And we don't even want to be focused on the future. We don't want to be ignorant. We need to be wise. But we can make really wrong decisions. We need to look up, not here. Not here, but okay, Father, this is what your word says. We want to have kingdom purpose, and your heart is for the lost. You said you want your house to be a house of prayer. Your one prayer request that's in scripture is that Father would send forth the laborers into the harvest. Will you pray for me this, not pray for me, pray for this community this week as all of the people come in to this community, and we go out to the fair and we're walking around. You don't have to be crazy about it. We don't have to stand there and point our finger at people and preach, oh, you're going to hell. No. We can be out there, and as we see things, ask Father to give you his heart. Ask Father to give you his eyes, and you see things, you can be praying. You can be praying for people. People that are struggling. And the Lord may start giving you, like, wow, you know, you see somebody that's hurting or whatever. You pray for them. That's the very least. The very, very least. And he'll show you what to do. As you go to the grocery stores, as we're out and about, I'm becoming more aware of, Lord, give me your heart. Give me your eyes to see. And if I see somebody, I want to be like Peter and John. In Acts chapter 4, when they're going, they're just minding their own business, they're going to church, they're going up to the temple to pray, and there's a guy begging, Remember what they say to him? Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. As we go to restaurants and you start seeing stuff, we don't want to be stupid. We don't want to be arrogant. We don't want to, but just listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to the Spirit of Jesus and ask for his heart and start being his hands and his feet. Our purpose is to be lined up with the Father. Our purpose is to be concerned about the lost as he's concerned about the lost. Our purpose is to be a house of prayer. Our purpose, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's in us, and he wants to come out, and we just need eyes to see and ears to hear. Kingdom purpose. Let's be about his business. His business. Not look to the past. Not be focused on, we got to have the latest. You know what Paul says, his greatest, and we're going to talk more about this next week, Kingdom Purpose Part 2. But he said, you are, and he's talking, and I can't pull right now which scripture it is. It may be Corinth. He said, you are my living epistles. You are my epistles. And as we come to church, and we gather together, and we get encouraged, and we get built up, we go out, and we are his hands and his feet to a lost and dying world. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He knows that we can't do it. He knows we can't. As I shared with you last week, I was incredibly shy when I was a kid. And people that know what I'm doing now, and they've come and they hear me preach, they're just like, can't believe, April, you're doing that. It's Jesus. It's him. It's him. And as we yield ourselves to him, and it's going to be different for each one of us, but as we yield to him, you need to go out and be living epistles, living who the uniqueness of who you are. Kingdom purpose. Let's be about him and his purpose. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, truly, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would just be so focused on you, Lord, that we would have your heart for the lost. We would have your heart. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to seek and save the lost. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, is there going to be thousands of people that are coming to DuQuoin this week and in the weeks ahead, the week after that? Lord, I pray that we would just be your hands and your feet. Lord, that we would see what you see. And Lord, even if we pray and nobody knows, but Lord, that we would pray for people. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would send forth laborers into the harvest field. Lord, I pray that you would make this house a house of prayer. And Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that's your heart. That's what you want. And Lord, I pray we would be about kingdom purpose. We would be about you. Break our hearts with the things that break yours. Thank you for all the gifts, Lord, that are represented here. Lord, some of us are called to be evangelists. Some of us, Lord, just are called to be intercessors in the prayer closet, praying, and nobody knows, Lord, except you, and Lord, everything in between. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we would be obedient, that you would flow through us, that Peter and John, Lord, when they came up to the gate called Beautiful, Lord, that we would be faithful in proclaiming the kingdom of God, praying for whom it is you want us to pray, speaking to whom you want us to pray for. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that your river would flow through us. Lord, your word says, you said, out of our bellies shall flow forth rivers of living water. And Lord, I pray we would be that wherever we would go. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and may we be about your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing a hymn. I love to tell the story, and may we do that. Please stand as we sing this song. May this be our passion, that we love to tell the story of Jesus. We love to tell what he's done for us. I'm reminded of when I went to the Soviet Union, when it was still the Soviet Union, and I was paired up with two roommates. I never had an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. They never attended the Bible studies that we had. But the night before I left, they sat with me and told me things that I had done that they were like, you know, we don't know what it is about you, but you're different. I had no idea. As God's people, people are watching you, and He is shining through you in ways that you have no idea. The world is looking at us, and He's shining through us, and just trust Him to shine through. It's sometimes not even what we say. It's just our countenance and Jesus in you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill us up with your Holy Spirit, that we would be living epistles, God, that we would shine, and Lord, your river would flow through us so we can bring light and hope to a dark and dying world. In Jesus' name. Grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go forth in peace. If you need prayer, you want prayer for anything, you can come up after.